Welcome to this week's edition of Dugout Dish with me, Andy Kirikides, and my co-host, Keith Glasser. How are we doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. Good topic for today. One that's come up recently with some folks that we've spoken to, and I think it's worth a little time to discuss. And we are going to talk about the multi-sport / specialization topic in baseball. I know me and you have a fairly strong stance on this, but let's kick this topic off and talk about a little bit about the value of being a multi-sport athlete. And we'll talk a little bit about the specialization piece and see where it takes us. So what do we got, Coach?
Sure. You know, I think this is something that comes up, you know, around, I mean, it comes up all the time, right? But I think it also comes up as kids start to get older and, you know, you get in a recruiting process. Should you specialize? Should you only be playing one sport? You know, I don't believe that you should, you know, straight up specialize, especially at definitely at an early age. But, you know, I think it should become a little bit more of a natural phase out as you kind of get older. And, you know, maybe you're a three sport athlete where you're a football guy, a hoops guy, and a baseball guy. And as you get older, like, you know, you're not that into hoops anymore, or, you know, whatever it might be. Like, you know, maybe you end up becoming a baseball, football guy. You know, but I think the value of athleticism can't be understated in today's game and what coaches are looking for. You know, you're looking to see how guys move. You're looking to see how athletic they are. You know, and I think you can gain a lot of different movements and a lot of different attributes in other sports that you can, you know, be able to use in other sports. You know, because how you're going to move on the football field or on the basketball court or on the wrestling mat or in volleyball or soccer is far different than what you're going to be doing in baseball. You know, but you can use those athletic skills to be able to better your game from a baseball standpoint. And, you know, it can go the other way too, right? Like, you know, we're specifically talking baseball because that's what we talk about. But if you do listen and it's not specifically baseball, like, you can go both ways. You know, so I think that it's an important thing for kids to be able to do. I think at a young age, it's important for kids to be able to find what sports it is that they enjoy and what they want to do, and let them play everything, you know, and let, kind of let them naturally be able to figure out what they're good at and what they like to do and, you know, and cultivate that and keep them in the game for as long as they can. You know, I think one of the things that we struggle with in baseball is keeping a lot of people in this game later. Like, it's a tough game. You know, like, we talk about this all the time. Like, you're going to fail 7 out of 10 times and people think you're a really good hitter. You know, so it's, you're going to make errors. Like, it is a brutal game to play. You know, and when we harp on all the successes and everything else, like, it's the mental aspect of baseball can be cultivated in other sports as well. So I think it's important to be able to play other sports and not just straight up specialize in baseball from a super early age, or, you know, even make that decision when you're going to high school. You know, I think it's a little bit better to be able to kind of let that naturally progress to, like, you know what, I don't see a future in hockey for me. Like, I'm not going to juniors. I'm not going to, you know, prep school, whatever. Like, I'm going to phase out hockey and I'm going to focus a lot of my time and energy on baseball now. Like, that's a natural thing to happen as you kind of get a little bit older and into high school, you know? So I think, like, things like that, I think are a better way to kind of go about either specializing or just becoming a one or two sport athlete versus a three or a two.
Yeah. I mean, I me and you're on the same page with this. The athleticism trumps just about anything in the game of baseball, and your maturity as a baseball player, it oftentimes takes you to 21, 22 years old to figure out how good you can be at this game. And sacrificing athleticism at the age of 15 and the idea of specialization, to me, just doesn't make a ton of sense. And I think some of the results are pretty valid. Like, there's a lot of more kids specializing these days, and I understand the basic logic, but I think what's missed is that baseball is such a repetition sport, especially when you get in, especially when you get into throwing, that just playing in other sports gives you a chance to hit the reset button from a physical perspective. But the other thing for me from an athletic perspective is that I think that we've moved in the direction of being really good at drills and not really good at playing. And I find that there are a lot of kids out there that are over drilled and underplayed. And underplayed isn't just baseball. I think it's just a compete factor. And we've had every single coach that I think that we've had in the podcast, and I think there's upwards of, you might have the count on you right now, but we've had 30 or 40 different coaches on this podcast at this point. And every single one of them to a man has talked about competing in athleticism. And the problem with specializing is that during those windows where you're not playing the game, all you're doing is doing drills. Like, you can't be a good infielder by doing a bunch of cone drills. You can't be a good hitter by hitting off a tee and hitting in a controlled environment all the time. The other side of this for me is that baseball is such a game of repetition that you move in very specific ways that are very, what's the word I'm looking for? They're constrained, right? Like, if you're running the bases, like, you turn left the whole time. If you're hitting right-handed, all you do is rotate left. If you're an infielder, most of the time you're working downhill and to your left for the vast majority of ground balls. So you're not doing a lot of really dynamic athletic movements. But the reality is just you need that athleticism to be successful. You need the athleticism to be able to adjust to a ground ball as a hitter. You need that athleticism to go and block a ball that's outside of your frame as a catcher. You need that athleticism to be able to consistently repeat your delivery. You need that athleticism to be able to hit when you're not in a perfect position to hit. Because as you know, most hitting doesn't really happen on time. Like, being a perfect swing and being perfect on time is a rarity as a hitter. Most of the time, you're a little bit off center. You're a little bit off kilter. The kids who are more athletic are the ones who have the ability to get their body in a position to still throw the barrel with some bat speed and be able to hit the ball hard. And I think what happens a lot of time with specialization is that, yes, you get better at the skill, but if you don't have the strength and the athleticism, it doesn't translate into the game. Sports like football, sports like soccer, basketball, wrestling, there's an inherent athleticism that comes with playing those games. Like, if you're a running back and you're coming downhill and you've got a play that's going through the five hole and that end comes down the field and you got to bounce it outside, like, you can't replicate that kind of athleticism and that kind of movement on a baseball field because it doesn't happen. But that athleticism translates to a baseball field. Same thing with, you know, wrestling and the positions that you have to be, that you get put in from a flexibility perspective, soccer from just a pure speed and endurance perspective, basketball. I mean, I don't really need to say much about basketball. Like, it's up and down, it's jumping, it's side to side, it's back pedals, it's shuffling. Like, you're doing things athletically that may not on the surface look like they translate directly to baseball, but they will improve your baseball game. And I don't think that it's a coincidence that the higher you go up in the level of baseball, you know, I'll stick to specifically the American-born players. Most of those guys at some point in their high school careers were legitimate athletes in another sport. I mean, and you can go down the list of dudes that played other sports in the big leagues. A lot of them were football players, very common. Some really talented basketball players, wrestlers, soccer players, swimmers. Like, a lot of these guys had another sport that they were very good at. And I don't think that that's a coincidence. And it doesn't mean that you can't get really good being specializing. And I do think that there's a time and place. kind of what you were saying, that like maybe you run out of another sport and like, all right, well, I'm going to use the winter to get really strong and get ready for my spring baseball season. So maybe you don't wrestle or maybe you don't play basketball. The other side of it is, especially with travel baseball these days, it's so recruiting focused that I think winning and like really competing sometimes takes a backseat to showcasing. When you play football or basketball or soccer, your individual performance is tied to a broader group of individuals within that gameplay. In baseball, each pitch is its own different scenario. And like, you can play well, and the goal is to play well, but the youth baseball mechanism that we find ourselves in, it's not really driven towards winning. It's driven towards showcasing and getting recruited. And the guys who play football, the guys who play basketball, soccer, wrestling, I think that those kids are better equipped for the college game, because when you get to college, it's about winning and nothing else. And can you be a part of something that's bigger than yourself? Can you work every day in practice without guaranteed playing time, right? Like, can you do the hard stuff? And I think specialization zaps kids of the opportunity to compete in a different sport. Maybe compete in a sport where they're not the best player and they have to find ways to contribute. Like, you might not be the best basketball player, but can you really defend? You might not be the best football player, but can you operate within your offensive system? Wrestling's its own beast, and you can speak to that a little bit more, but like, I think wrestlers are freaking badass. If there's a baseball player who's out there who is a wrestler, I immediately am intrigued, because it takes a unique type of toughness to be a wrestler. And I just think the value of playing another sport or two other sports as long as you can, it'll be really hard for somebody to convince me that somebody should specialize 12 months out of the year in a sport like baseball, because I don't think it's beneficial for youth.
I agree. I think, take it a step further. Like, if you're, let's say baseball is your sport again, because this is what we talk about here. And maybe you are not the guy on the hoops team or the football team or soccer team, but like, you have to figure out a way to, like you said, contribute. Like, the other thing that you have to do is like, you have to show up every day to practice and continue to try to get better. And that is going to bode well for you if you end up playing college baseball, because you're going to spend a ton of time practicing baseball. And I can promise you, when you get to college and you get on a college field and you're doing stuff in the fall and you start getting stuff into the spring, like, you're going to start practicing things that you've never been taught, never been told, didn't even know it was a thing. And you have to be able to digest all this information, be able to practice and succeed. And I think the kids that are able to do that in other sports, because they're not the dude in those other sports where like they have to practice and figure out how things work so that they can contribute. Like, that bodes well for you when you get to college, when, you know, it's the same thing we talk about when you're coaching. Like, you first get into coaching, you think you know everything there is to know about coaching, and you quickly get humbled and you're like, I don't know enough about this game to, like, I don't even know why they're paying me to do this job. I think that that's like, it's another important piece of it, you know. And I love guys that wrestled and played baseball. I recruited a lot of those guys. I think the athleticism and the compete factor are off the charts for those kids, because you don't have anyone else to blame but yourself. Like, you go out and lose, like, it's on you. It's not on anyone else. And the humility and your ego has to get checked a little bit every day. But those practices are brutal too. Like, you learn how to practice and you learn how to legitimately go through things that are going to be tough, because you're going to get your butt kicked every single day. And I did, you know, I got recruited to wrestle, but like, I was not good. Like, I wrestled varsity my freshman year, and I think I wrestled at 152. I was like 8-16. Like, I was very good. my sophomore year, I won 29 matches. I had a pretty good season. In my junior year, I was like 14-0 until I had injury default out and I dislocated my knee. And then, you know, wrestling just kind of, you know, for me, wrestling phased out because I, you know, committed to play college baseball and signed a scholarship and I was a catcher and I needed my knees. And, you know, it's one thing I wish I continued on to do, you know, later in life. But, you know, at the time, it was the right decision for me to make to, you know, to take the winner. And instead of, you know, sucking out to 171 when I walked around in the 180s, to get a little bit bigger, faster and stronger and be able to kind of get into college and be around the 190, 195 mark. So that was healthy enough to be able to play. And I'm glad that I did because, as you know, my freshman year, we had two catchers. You know, so I had to be in pretty good shape to be able to do that. So, you know, I think that the specialization part, I think also zaps the fun out of what should be, you know, especially the youth kids. You know, I think kind of specializing and, you know, competing and having fun and doing those things at 10, 11, 12 years old. Like, that's why I stuck around this game as long as I did. And it's why I love it so much. Like, I was able to be coached by a lot of guys who, you know, maybe didn't know a whole hell of a lot, but they were good dudes who wanted to be involved in the community. And, you know, they fostered a culture in which you wanted to be like show up and practice and have fun and win and do those things. And it carried through for us. You know, so I think like that's something that's starting to get lost a little bit and why we're losing some people, because it's like it's a tough game to begin with. And when you have adults yelling at you about what you should be doing and shouldn't be doing, like, all right, this game is tough. I'm not having success and everyone's yelling at me. Why do I want to go back to that sport? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think you need a break from it. And I think it's a good thing to take a break from it. I got a couple of young nephews and they don't want anything to do with baseball right now because it's boring. When you're little. And like, you don't want to zap a kid of his drive for something that he's really good at. And I think that happens with 13, 14, 15 years old is that, you know, if you're dragging them all over the country to go to these different events and they don't really enjoy it, like, you know, they're not going to want to do it. And, you know, I think there's a lot more value in letting that kid take a season off and go play another sport. I think it's good for him physically. I think it's good for him mentally. I think it's good for him socially. You know, if you're running around with the same people all the time, you don't have anybody who's treating you any different. You know, you're not getting any new ideas, any different views. You're not getting coached by somebody different. I mean, I was lucky to have some good baseball coaches, but some of the best coaches I ever had were in other sports. And you get coached different by different people, and different sports are coached differently. Like, a basketball practice is way different than a baseball practice. And the experience of having to go through that or show up on a game day for a football game and play with that kind of intensity and the toughness that's related with it and being able to operate as a unit, I think it's really hard to quantify how important those moments are for young kids. Not to mention, like, it's fun. Like, it's okay for things to be fun. Like, I think it's sometimes that gets lost on people that everything needs to be serious and it needs to be regimented and it needs to be, you know, this situation where everything is super serious. And it's like, you got to have fun doing this. And I think it's fun to play other sports. Like, nobody plays pickup baseball, but you can go play pickup basketball with your buddies any day you want. You can go play flag football. Like, you know, shoot, you could play pickup wrestling. Just don't mess with the guy who actually wrestles, because that is not going to end well. I've seen that script play out multiple times. You know, you can play pickup soccer. Like, that's what's unique about those sports that baseball doesn't really offer. Like, you know, kids don't play pickup baseball anymore. I'm sure there's kids who play wiffle ball and do fun stuff like that, but it's different. Everything now with baseball needs to be an umpire and two teams and cool uniforms. It's become really, really formal. And I think that's actually hurt the game. You know, you don't see kids go and play catch just to play catch. Everything's at a facility, and it's different. It's different, and I don't know if it's bad or good.
Yeah, but no, I agree. I think that's why, you know, as college coaches, when we were coaching, and I know it's the same thing that we, you know, it's things that get talked about with coaches that we know, like kids getting to college are struggling with being able to just play catch, and it sounds super basic, but like it's something that you need to be able to do in order to be able to actually play. And it seems so simple, but if you never take it seriously and you're never really taught, like, then that's where it can become a little bit more difficult for you to be able to kind of cut down that learning curve when you get to college. But no, I agree. Like, I think sometimes at the youth level too, like, you know, and it's fine to have fun. And I think there should be a good mix of like, hey, we're going to be super positive and really make this experience good for these kids so that they want to continue to come back and do this. But I also think like you're going to have to teach them, like, when they make errors, like, hey, what happened there? Like, that's what coaching is. And I think sometimes you have people that get into, you know, the youth realm and maybe even the high school realm where like guys make errors and they just, you know, they yell at them. And they're, you know, like, this game's hard, man. Like, big leaguers make errors. College guys make errors. Like, they're going to make errors. Everyone does. Everyone who's ever played this game did. So, like, you need to take that as a coachable moment and walk them through, like, hey, what were you thinking there? You know, and when you actually coach, like, that's the difference to me. I think you have a lot of people that just want to, you know, be in the dugout and be a part of it, and they don't really know how to coach. So then they struggle, and you know, they get on younger kids, and you know, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? And it becomes a more of a combative interaction instead of an actual like teaching and learning environment where kids can be like, okay, like, hey, I messed up. What happened? I don't know. That's never happened to me, because like you're always going to see something on the baseball field that you've never seen before. And, you know, I thought that, you know, we would do this all the time. And, you know, we would play BP live all the time because I wanted to put our guys in situations that they didn't, you know, that I wanted to get used to, obviously, the speed, but they'll put us in situations that we might not see all the time. And it's a great way to do it. But I wanted them to be able to fail in practice and then talk about it so that then when it actually matters, we know what we're supposed to do with the baseball. We know where, like, you know, if we're never going to lay out backhand balls in the six hole and throw it across the diamond ever, why should I ever expect, and why should the pitchers expect any of the hitters and position guys to dive for balls? If we're never going to practice it. Right. Like it's, and I think that like things like that can be so fun at the youth level. I'm not saying you have to do it with BP, but like you could be like with 12-year-olds, like, hey man, I'm just going to hit balls around the field. I just want you to dive for them and give me your best effort. Like you're telling me 12-year-olds aren't going to dive all over that field and get as dirty as they possibly can and like not have fun doing that. They're like, you know, our generation would be like the, you know, doing the Jeter, but like, you know, these kids, they're, I don't even know who their idol is now, but like it's, you know what I mean? Like, I think that those are things that kind of get lost, and we're getting a little off topic with the multi-sport specialization stuff here, but you know, I think that those are things that like you can learn those other skills in other sports. Like you're going to have to lay out and dive in football. You're going to have to lay out and dive for, you know, loose balls and hoops. Like those things that like, you know, you might not think they translate, but they do, you know, and I think that those are things that get lost when you just kind of specialize in just one sport specifically, where you lose out on that compete factor. You lose out on that, you know, the practice, like learning how to practice aspect of things. And you know, I think that it should be a little bit more of a natural progression versus like, well, we're in high school now, so like you got to pick one. And you know, and I'm not saying like you need to, like, get it, like sports are expensive, but like I'm not saying you have to travel all over the world for all three sports that you're playing. You know, if you're really good at baseball, like, yeah, spend the majority of your time there, but go play football, wrestle, play hoops, play hockey, play soccer, play volleyball. Like, it's an important thing to be able to do, A, for the reset, but B, like, again, you get more athleticism playing other sports. Like volleyball, I mean, it's an explosive sport. You're jumping, swinging your arm, you know, your bump set kill. Bump set spike. I'm sorry. I think it's a kill, but, you know, bump set spike, you know.
And I'm sure there's some people who are listening to this, and, you know, there's always another side that you can take, and I understand it. Like, there's definitely an argument that can be made for specialization, and people will bring up basketball and they'll bring up soccer. What I think separates basketball and soccer is that you can play and mimic game situations at the youth level in soccer and basketball just by playing pickup. The specialization for baseball isn't them playing a lot. I shouldn't say that. It's not them practicing a lot. And I think there's a big difference between practice and drills. So there's games, there's practice, and there's drills. And I think they're very different. Baseball, we play too many games, we don't practice enough, and we do too many drills. And the specialization happens with, we play a bunch of games where we don't have the opportunity to fail, and we can't learn from what we're doing, especially if you don't have a good coaching staff that allows or really coaches those kids up. And then we stick them in a drill environment where there's no variability in anything that's happening. So failure is really hard to come by. Practice is where you get really good. And I think it's why you see a lot of kids who get to college make a massive jump. It's not just because they are in the weight room. It's because in college, we practice a lot. And we put these kids in situations where they are actually actively practicing game situations over and over and over again. It's not drills. Infielders don't get better in college because they have an infield coach who comes up with a cool lead-up system where they get a bunch of short hop drills. Like, that's bullshit. That's not how it works.
And that's their, like, they might, let's be clear, they probably do that stuff, but that's such a small part. Like, that's like their lead-up warm-up into what they're going to be doing. Like, especially if you're on like a heavy defensive day, like we're talking, like you might be straight up with infielders doing live infield ground balls, whether it's fungos batted or off a machine. Like you might be doing that for 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes that day, like specifically in that. And then you're going to do more of it during batting practice or live team D, whatever it might be.
Yep. 100%. And that's where you see improvement. But for me, that's practice. It's not drills. Yeah. The lead-up stuff is valuable. It's just like T-work. You know, there's some guys who say, well, T is pointless. No, it's not. It just shouldn't be everything that you do. It should be a part of what you do. But practice in college is centered around doing things that help you win games. So you're not doing cone drills to get better as an infielder. You're taking live reps off a fungo. You're throwing across the infield. You're getting live reads during batting practice. So essentially what you're doing is like you're truly practicing the game of baseball. You're getting reads off of a live bat. You're diving after balls. You're throwing across the infield. You're doing double play turns. That's very different. And I think it's where kids get really good versus the travel ball system that we operate in now. You go and you fly in. On Wednesday, you play a game Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then you drive and then you go home. And those kids, whether you believe it or not, they've gotten limited reps. There's no space for failure. So you can't really coach, right? You can't pause a game and talk to a kid about the angle he took on a ground ball and how we want to set his pre-pitch stuff so that he gets a better first step, right? You can't do that in a game. And most coaches, the vast majority of them in travel ball, aren't doing that with kids. And I don't even blame them because I don't think it's a system that's conducive to it. But playing those games and never practicing is why kids don't make big jumps or why they don't get really good at playing the game. They don't have those practice moments. And you go from that to the offseason where all you do is drills. So the specialization is not mimicking gameplay, where sports like basketball and soccer, you play short-sided games, you've got all kinds of one touch work that's being done. There's different sequencing for how you're going to play basketball. You're working sets. You can play a pickup basketball game. You can play 3-on-3 where everything is really translatable to game day. But that cone drill you do with your quote unquote infield coach, it's not making you better. And I'm sure that's a controversial statement because I know there's some people out there who are really good infield guys who do that kind of stuff. But like, take a big step back. Putting a cone out and asking a kid to run around it to go catch a ground ball, that's not really making him better if that's the core of what you're doing. And it's the same thing we do with hitters, is that we put him in these controlled environments and you ask him to execute. But as soon as there's multiple variables as a part of the equation, they fall apart because they're swingers, not hitters, because they haven't been in that situation where they can fail or they have to grind out in a bat or they have to put a ball in play to the right side of the field to move a guy over. Like, that part of baseball at the youth level is where I think specialization fails. If you specialized and your specialization was more practice, less drills, less games, I think it could be really conducive. But that's not the system that we live in right now. And that's where I have a hang up with specialization from a pure baseball perspective, not to mention the other athletic pieces of the puzzle that get introduced when you're playing football, basketball, soccer, wrestling, whatever, swimming, volleyball. These are all awesome sports. You lose sight of that. And the compete factor is another portion of it. Like, kids don't get a chance to compete enough.
No, they don't learn how to compete. You know, and I think that there's a movement now in some of these youth sports where, in the off season, like, there's pressure from a lot of the coaches to have the kids doing stuff in the off season at super young ages. You know, and I know some people out here that have kids that are, 10, 11, 12, 13, and they're getting pressure during baseball season or lacrosse season to be doing hockey stuff or hoop stuff or football stuff. And it's like, and you're 12 years old, like, it's baseball season or it's lacrosse season. Like, go play baseball and lacrosse. Like, unless you're a phenom hockey player, like, there, you don't need to get on the ice and do a bunch of stuff at 12 years old. I couldn't agree more. I think, like, the variability that happens in baseball cannot be replicated in a practice setting. Like, can you get close? Sure. But, a lot of those drills and stuff are things that are set up to be able to kind of get a base under yourself, not necessarily designed to make you a better overall infielder. Like, can those things do it? Yes, they can. But you're like, I can go out there right now and field the ground ball around a cone and make a throw to first base. Like, I'm not sure I can go out and play shortstop right now in a live game and be able to actually glove balls. Like, my first step is going to be horrific. My arm's probably going to fall off. And I haven't seen a batted ball come at me in Kundayala. So, like, all of those things, all those variables are things that you have to actually be able to practice to get used to those things. And I think, depending on where you are, like, it's super easy to do infield, like, to make up infield drills and work inside in the Northeast at a facility to do some stuff. And I'm not saying I want to be clear, like, we're not saying that it's bad, but it's not going to replicate anything from a game standpoint or a compete standpoint that's going to make you astronomically better. Like, it's going to be the on-field practice, the on-field game stuff that is really what does it for you. And I think that, you can pick up other athleticism and other tools and be able to move and do things in a better way if you're, spending your winter playing basketball or wrestling or hockey or whatever it is. Like, go do that. Until you decide as you get older, like, hey, like, I don't want to go to juniors and prep school and whatever the hockey, I don't even know what hockey is. I know that it's absurd, but that, like, I want to focus on playing soccer and baseball. Okay, how about it? but I think it's got to be a kind of a, like I said, I'm beating a dead horse here, a kind of a natural progression, not something that I think you sit down and talk to your 13-year-old about, or 10-year-old or whatever. Like, I have a 3-year-old. Like, if I tell him that we're going to go play soccer, like, that's all he wants to do until I tell him that we're going to go hit the ball. And now we're all baseball. Like, he's going to do whatever I say. So, you know, I think that there has to be a little bit of autonomy and, you know, your kids, but, you know, be able to kind of help guide them through that process a little bit more than just like, hey, we're only going to focus on this sport. And as we've said 1,000 times on here, and I'll say it again, like, baseball is not 100% scholarship sport. So, like, your return on investment in specializing from a super young age likely is not going to be what it is that you're, like, what you think it's going to be. Like, yeah, you might get a scholarship, might go to a really good school, might play college baseball, but, like, that return on investment from everything that you're going to sink in from age 10 to 22, those 12 years, like, it's, you're going to burn more money than anything else. You know, so I think sometimes you might be better off just spending your money, you know, allowing them to go play Pop Warner or high school football or hoops or whatever. So, but yeah, you know, I'm a huge fan of the multi-sport athlete. I just think that, like, you know, we get this question a lot, and, you know, what should we do? Should I just specialize? And, like, you know, our answer is always the same. Like, it's, you know, play it as long as you want, because, I mean, you see it every year in the NFL draft, the amount of guys that play other sports. Like, a lot of Major League Baseball guys played other sports. I mean, we had Tim Azon. He played soccer and hoops for a while. He was a three-sport athlete for a while, you know, pitching in the big leagues, you know. And I know that there's other – I know other guys who have played in the big leagues or have gotten close that played football or wrestled or played hockey and soccer and stuff growing up that, you know, there's a, you know, like, they're super athletic, and you can pull those – athletic strings from other sports and be able to integrate it into your game. And, you know, because I'll be the first one to tell you, when I showed up to a field to watch somebody, like, you can tell the difference between guys who move really well and guys who don't. And that's the first thing you're going to look at. And then, as we've talked about a lot, the adjustability and the variability that comes in baseball, like, the guys that are super athletic generally are the ones that can adjust on the fly and be able to do the things it is that are going to bode well for them when they get to college. You know, and if you're just kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, a robot, and there's no adjustability in there, and there's, like, variability is going to really jam up your game, you're going to have less options than if you can promote a little bit more athleticism in what it is that you do, whether it's going to be defensively, offensively, running, whatever. So, you know, I think that those are things that, and again, we're talking about this in the baseball context. So, you know, I just think that there's, you try to specialize in, you know, if you want, when you get older, not necessarily at a super young age. Promote athleticism, promote getting better, promote having some fun. You know, we would have fun at RPI sometimes. Like, we would play wiffle ball.
No way. You guys had fun?
We did. Shocking revelation. Like, we would play wiffle ball, or I would, like, there would be days where I would just invent, like, the dumbest competition that I could possibly imagine. And it was more just to get guys to compete and take our minds off of, you know, we've been inside practicing for, you know, 6 weeks. Like, that's monotonous. We haven't really been able to get outside. Like, all right, guys, like, here's the baseball stuff today. But, like, we're gonna come up with some competition stuff. Like, let's grab those hurdles, grab the track mats over there. Grab me some of those nets, get some balls over here, and I would just invent stuff, and we would get after it. And it was, like, guys loved it, had a lot of fun doing it, but, like, just to break up the monotony and, but, like, still be able to compete and do stuff. But, like, when you start, you know, when you start bringing out hurdles and making guys jump into mats and do stuff, like, you, like, the guys who are athletic are the ones that really excel in those things. And, you know, I think you can tell, you know, who's athletic, right, on your team. But my point is, like, you can tell the guys who are super athletic are the ones that are are not going to have problems in doing those things. And I think that the vast majority of them were guys who played multiple sports growing up. And, you know, even I had guys who played multiple sports at RPI. We had guys who played football and baseball. We had guys who swam and played baseball. We had guys who played soccer and played baseball. You know, so like we had multiple sport athletes even in college. So, you know, it's not the most unheard of thing, but, you know, it's something that we did have.
Yeah, and I think to kind of close this out, like, is there a point where you may need to push your chips into the middle on baseball because you want to play college baseball and that's your dream? Yeah. Yeah. But I think that conversation needs to be a long one. I think it's a conversation that needs to consider all of the variables. But yeah, if you're going into your junior year of high school and you throw 75 miles an hour and your dream is to pitch at the collegiate level, you're like, yeah, maybe we need to have a conversation about putting down the basketball this offseason and really focus on, like, hey, we need to add some size. We need to move a little bit better. We need to get you with a good pitching coach. We need to get you in a good throwing program. And we got to try to get that velocity up. Like, yes, that is a real conversation that can and should be had at some point. But until that point, I think guys should be playing multiple sports. I think there's too much value in it to dismiss it from a baseball perspective and for all the reasons that we've hit on. And yeah, I think the kids who are athletic are the ones who have the highest ceiling when it all comes out in the wash here. And I don't think it's a coincidence that if you look up in the big leagues, a vast majority of those American-born players, like they were all really good athletes in something else prior to being a professional baseball player. And I don't think that that's a coincidence. I just looked up Vance Honeycutt just out of curiosity because he was somebody that really stuck out to me from like a pure, like raw athleticism standpoint, center fielder from North Carolina. He was a well-accomplished quarterback in high school. So like, I don't think that stuff's coincidence. I think it's part of what makes him as good as he is that he played football. And I bet you he would tell you the same thing. So Vance, if you're listening, feel free to tweet about it or something. I'd also be curious if your mother ever gave you a Gatorade while you were playing a game as a youth. And if Coach Forbes decided, or if there's any other coach out there that decided not to recruit you because of it.
Yeah. Corbin Carroll ran cross country growing up.
Kind of wild. Clayton Kershaw was Matthew Stafford's center.
He was. And Matthew Stafford was Clayton Kershaw's catcher.
Pat Mahomes was an accomplished pitcher. I know we're going in a slightly different direction. Mookie Betts was like an accomplished bowler, which is kind of funny.
It is.
I mean, the list is long and distinguished when you look back. Like Carl Crawford from, you know, just a little bit for some of the other guys. Like he was a freak show athlete I think he got recruited for three sports. Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter were both accomplished basketball players. Mm-hmm. Nomar Garcia-Parra was a four sport high school athlete who had scholarships to play multiple sports at Georgia Tech. Todd Helton played quarterback at Tennessee.
He did.
Larry Walker was an accomplished hockey player. These are just like literally off the top of my head. But you go back to a lot of these guys and they're athletes. They were athletes before they were baseball players. And I think maybe that's the cleanest, most simplest way to put it for a lot of these guys is they were athletes first and then they were baseball players.
Chuck Peterson was the number one wide receiver in high school. He was actually, fun fact, this is why I thought of this, he was the number one wide receiver on the same high school team as Devontae Adams.
Yes. How wild is that? Yep. He's one. I'm trying to think. There's a ton of them out there. I'm trying to think. I mean, obviously, Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, they were decent.
Bo knows.
Bo does know. They were decent back in the day.
Devontae Adams also played hoops.
Yeah. You had, Jameis Winston played at Florida State. multi-sport guy. I'm sure the Saints weren't upset that he was a multi-sport athlete. Or who did he go to originally?
The Bucks.
Yes, you're right. He went to the Bucks. Correct. Giancarlo Stanton, a.k.a. Mike Stanton, was a highly recruited football player coming out of high school. I'm pretty sure Aaron Judge was as well. No, Aaron Judge was a very good basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Not all that surprisingly, but.
You mean the 6'9" guy?
Yeah. You mean the massive freak show athlete who plays right field for the Yankees? It's not a coincidence. Tom Glavine, savage hockey player back in the day.
All those Braves pitchers are absurd golfers too.
Yep. Chipper Jones was a multi-sport guy for sure at Bulls High School down in Jacksonville. We could play this off the top of our heads for a long time, but yeah, athletes win. I mean, Mike Trout, I'm pretty sure Mike Trout was a pretty accomplished football player. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure he was. If he wasn't, I'm sure he could have been, because good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a normal human. But yeah, athletes are good. Coaches like athletes. There's nothing wrong with playing multiple sports. Yes, that conversation may need to be had at some point, but you're 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. I think it's a big mistake to just specialize in baseball. Let your kid get out there and compete in other sports. Let him be athletic in other sports. Let him enjoy it. The baseball stuff will come. You can always take BP and ground balls in the offseason. It's not a hard thing to do. But let him wrestle. Let him play soccer, basketball, football, swim, lacrosse, volleyball, whatever they want to do. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Anything else you want to add here, Coach?
No.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Keep up with it on the other fields of choice, the pitch, the football field, the basketball court. Enjoy it, and come back and listen to us next week. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for listening this week. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and smash that like button for us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at EMD Baseball. If you want to find out what me and Keith do to help families and players navigate the recruiting process, go ahead and check us out on EMDBaseball.com. Take a few minutes to check out our new online academy. I promise you'll get some good information out of that. Thanks again for listening. Check in with you next week.